So hello and welcome to the First Time Finish podcast. My name is George. I'm joined yet again by Ben and by Tom. How are you two doing today?
Very well. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. It feels like we haven't done this for a while, but I think I wasn't involved in the surprise European Super League podcast that got put out where, you know, literally the second anything got put out, it was already out of date straight away, wasn't it? But you guys did really well with that. And, you know, it kind of feels like everything's moving so quickly in the world of football at the moment. And it's kind of difficult to keep on top of it. Tom, how are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Very good. I'm looking forward to discussing some good knockout football today.
Yeah, so we are going to be talking about, obviously, the upcoming Euros. There are a number of teams who are battling it out, obviously, but there are certain favourites. Everybody has their favourites. One of those favourites probably would be considered France by most people. And we are joined by a guest who has worked with a fair few of the potential squad members of that French team. So we're joined by Frank Plaine today. Frank, how are you doing?
Very good, George. Thanks. I'm happy to be with you guys to discuss this football and around the French team. Yeah, that would be amazing to see them again, you know, performing well. If we remember the last Euro where we went to the final in France and obviously the World Cup in Russia, that has also been very successful. So if we can continue, that would be just amazing.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. Yeah, certainly obviously one of the main candidates to lift the trophy. Frank has worked with PSG and with the Clairefontaine Academy, so has obviously seen a large number of the amazing sort of young players that are coming through that French squad in their early stages of their development, etc., and is also currently working with the Zambia national team as well. How's that going for you at the minute?
It's okay. We're not too sure. We just got an info, you know, about these qualifiers for the next World Cup in the African zone, where we're not too sure because of some issues in the stadium if the game will be on in June, or if the countries, some of the countries, but, you know, quite a lot, it's around 20 countries that might need to fix their issues there to comply with all the criteria for the games to be on. So we don't know. It might be, you know, delayed and postponed. It looks like these years are crazy, you know, in addition to Corona and all the stuff. So let's see. But at the minute, it's okay. We're just preparing accordingly, like it must happen. And we're going to see in about 10 days now to get the last update on the situation. Yeah, but it's good. I had a good feeling with them at the last camp. We played against Algeria and we played against Zimbabwe. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough to qualify for the next African Cup of Nations. But at least the dynamic is good. You know, we collected 4 points. And I think the team is progressing well. And we just want to continue from where we stopped.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing amazing work with that national team there. I think what we're going to be doing is just kind of talking about some of the players that you've worked with who look like they are going to be selected for the French squad. Obviously, there's a large number of young players, you know, kind of in their early 20s, who you've worked quite closely with. Could you just name some of them? And then we think we're going to move on. I know that Ben and Tom have both got two players each to ask you about. And then we're going to finish on one certain player, I think, is what we're going to kind of end the podcast on. But out of the players that you've worked with, who do you think is in contention for that France squad?
Okay. So if we talk about INF Clairefontaine, the academy that is run by the Federation, we select players about 14 years old, you know, it's that age, under 14, under 15. So they have this path with 2 years in the pre-formation, we call it. So there we had Christopher Nkunku, that is currently playing for Red Bull Leipzig. I can't say if he's going to be, you know, in the team because he hasn't been selected yet, but for sure he's in the plan. You know, he's not too far, so that's why we can mention him. And I'm just optimistic and hopeful, you know, for this guy. Obviously, you know that we had Kylian Mbappe, that now it's everybody is talking about. So it was the promotion 98 in that squad, and then later on he left to Monaco, and now you see him playing PSG. So Kylian was there. We can talk also about Thuram, Marcus Thuram, the son of Lilian, so great background. Top player as well, playing in the Bundesliga too, same as Christopher. And the goalkeeper, Alphonse Airola, a bit older than these guys because he's born 93. So that's the four guys that we can mention at the moment, you know, that could be eventually in the list of 26, because I've heard that it might be a chance for coaches to take a bit more players than usual. So instead of 22 or 23, maybe we will see 26 players joining the team because of the different issues that they have. So these guys, we had the chance to train them at La Fontaine, and at PSG there are also quite a few. Kimpembe is an homegrown player at PSG, so he was at the academy. Some other boys, but they had to go. So you can see also the goalkeeper Mike Maignan, that might be called by Deschamps as well, you know. So it could be two goalkeepers that we had in our academies. There is obviously Kingsley Coman that is playing in Bayern Munich and is doing very well. It was a bit unfortunate with different injuries in some seasons previously, but I think from last year and now it's quite consistent, you know, and doing very, very good games. And also Adrien Rabiot that is in Juventus. So yeah, there were the guys we can mention approximately 7 to 8 players, maybe in the list of 26, that have a great chance if they're not injured, if they're performing with the club, that we can talk about now together.
Yeah, well, obviously that's an amazing list of players there that you've worked alongside. And I think people are going to be very excited to hear about your experiences with them. I think we're going to be touching on a few each, as I said. So, Ben, I don't know if you want to go first and ask any questions about the two players that you selected. I think you're going to focus in a little bit on Kingsley Coman and on Rabiot as well. Did you just want to ask a few questions about those two guys and their kind of whether they are going to be potential squad members?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd start with Adrien Rabiot. He's someone who obviously was at Manchester City in his early days and then went to PSG. I wonder, how was he, was it visible that he was influenced by English football when he came to PSG?
Well, Ben, for me, that would be more difficult to talk about this one, because to be honest, it was so fast in his development that when I reached the club after Clairefontaine, he was already, you know, mostly training with the first team. So it might happen because, you know, in this transition from academy to first team, sometimes there is a lack of minutes because they can't play too much in the competitions, and the exposure to matches is a real problem. So it could happen that we see him back, you know, to play with the reserve or eventually, you know, there was also that space where we play in the youth Champions League. But the guy was already, you know, in the plan with Ancelotti and then Laurent Blanc. So it was no chance, you know, that for him, it was very quick. So what you're talking about is I'm sorry, but that at the moment, I was not with the club, you know, when he came back after his trial there. But I believe, you know, was already this guy that everybody could see the talent, the capacity to adapt to different type of football, if you want to talking, you know, that way, because he's capable, you know, to do many things and to play in different positions. To play the position or to play in counter-attack style or, you know, more vertical and quicker, like probably you saw yesterday with Chelsea. So is a player quite flexible in system and also in the philosophy of play. So that's why he was interesting. And that's why he's also capable now to adapt to Italy and to play and to be a regular in the 11, you know, in Juventus. So, very good boy. What I can tell you is, for me, it was crazy to see that, you know, how much they belong to the academy. that was something very, for me, you know, not usual. Like I didn't expect, you know, that they could show so much passion. It means that, you know, doesn't matter where they played with the first team, if it was home or away, but if they were free, they will come and see, you know, their friends, normally their own team playing, and they will come and support and watch the game and all do stuff. So you could see him in and around the training center all the time, day and night, you know. So that's something that is very surprising, you know, for when you see it could have been maybe different, you know, just to say that, because he was already in a different world, you know, how it happens, you know, when you're in PSG and the first team, it could have been that maybe you little bit losing the humility or something, but it was completely the opposite. And this is, for me, was top, you know, when you're working in that environment, and this is what you're hopeful for, you know, to have coachable players, that they are receptive to you, and doesn't matter, you know, how they curve, if they go very quick forward or if maybe they need a little bit more time, but this is only what you could expect, you know, that the guys will commit and will be fully focused on the process. And yeah, so top, I'm happy that he's back with the French national team. You know, he had a tough period, but the boy show character, personality again, and bounce back. So well done to him.
Yeah, do you think it's his mentality and his kind of adaptability that makes him such an important player in that French squad? I mean, I just looked it up and he started 4 of the last 5 games for France. So I think people will be surprised by how important and how regularly he plays for France.
Yeah, no, you're right, Ben. That's true. Maybe also benefits, was, I don't know how you say in English, but benefiting, you know, from maybe Pogba absentee, you know, in Man United, and probably to build something in N'Golo Kanté that look also something, a pillar, you know, in that line of the midfield. So yes, obviously in the 6 or 8 or whatever position for him, people could be surprised, or maybe, you know, it's not any longer a surprise because he's playing in one of the biggest clubs in the world. He's there for, you know, as I said to you, when I reach, he was only 95, the generation, and it's not like Kimpembe or that stay a bit longer, you know, in the academy, but with him. So it means that he is with the professionals, you know, for a long time now, even if he's not so old. And I think he's got the maturity. He probably digested, you know, different challenges that he's got. And it's just the right time for him, this Euro and almost back-to-back go to World Cup. So it's a critical moment, you know, in a space of almost only a year, where for their career, it's such a critical moment. And I think they are fully focused on it. And you could also read the interviews, you know, how now, even outside the field, how much you put effort on his nutrition, the way he recovered, the time he spent at the club, before the trainings, after. So you can say that the boy is prepared, you know, for whatever the coach will ask. I think he will answer.
You mentioned Kimpembe there, Frank. Obviously, the depth of centre backs in that France squad is incredible. You know, you imagine that he will start alongside Raphael Varane, but then you've got Upamecano, Fofana, Konate, Mukiele, even Koundé. Obviously your experience of working with Kimpembe, what do you think sets him apart from those other players?
Well, Sam, you know, he's done lots of his progression is very like not predictable and crazy fast as well, you know, because from the space when he was under 19, you know, playing that youth Champions League, and eventually from one season to another, go for the preseason with the first team. And from that time, he just adapted so well. You know, he settled down there. You know, he's all the codes, it looked like he swallowed everything quite easily, because it's an environment, like I said before, you know, very difficult, probably in PSG as well. You know, the pressure is high. You don't have time, you know, you can't say there, you know, they will give you a chance and different matches to just, but the boys has come there and without any pressure. I think the main is probably his mental strength, where he showed resilience, you know, for the environment. Like, yes, I'm in a big club now, playing alongside crazy players like Neymar and all, you know, with like such superstar, but he's there, he belongs to this family. Also going to the French national team, same move, you know, there is no time, he adapts. He's on the bench, he comes in, he made the job. He starts same, you know. You know what you have on the field with Presnel Kimpembe. Everybody call him Presco. So you know him, and there is no question mark. You know that sometimes maybe you know in some players or with different coaches or different systems, there might be a gap where it could be on a good performance to something average or bad. You know this things is quite wide and you're not too sure. But I think with Presnel is more or less what you get is what you predicted, you know, before. And I think as a coach is quite important, you know, to have those serenity at the back that, yeah, when you put him, you know, as you say, with Varane or I don't know, it could be Langley or it's, So many, and I even seen Hernandez a bit, you know, with Bayern Munich. He need to be there, and he did quite a big job against Neymar, even if PSG was better. But, you know, he was also in the duels, very strong challenger, so he was top and quick. So there, as you say, there are many options, but... He's very important in the group. He's someone, you know, give him lots of energy, always positive. He's helpful. You see him sometimes also captain at PSG, so that means a lot. He's a leader. And probably the guys that you mentioned are not yet, you know, if they come, they might be coming, you know, and not capable to take a lead, or where Presnel is now quite established on the field and outside the field. And yeah, at the back, you can't take any risk with goalkeepers or with center backs. It's, you know, it's the last. So yeah, I think Tom, for this guy, we can tick the box. We can sure that he's going to be in the list. And if he's a regular, it depends how he finished the season, if he stay fit and how is the preparation. I think France has two friendlies to play before the start of the Euro. So yeah, it all depends on these last steps to finalize all the plans.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Frank, obviously you worked at Clairefontaine, and with France, there's such a, I mean, you could probably say that about most positions in that French squad, but in particular, when it comes to center backs, there's such a big depth in terms of players, especially young players. So, you know, like Jules Koundé, Ibrahima Konaté, Dea Upamecano. So I kind of wanted to ask, like, what's the secret at Clairefontaine to develop these defenders?
Now these guys, I think they all come from different academies in France, you know, with like you have in England for all the professional clubs. But I don't know, maybe, you know, it's you got lucky, just, you know, they all come at the same time, you know. It's, you can't explain that, I believe, because we never say that at the Federation that we should emphasize the development of, you know, more center backs, or that wasn't the spirit. I think it's more commonly, you know, to develop all profile of players for the first team, for the national team and all the clubs. I think not only at the back, but when you look, it's quite promising, you know, from maybe 95 generation, you know, to up to 2000, 2001 now, because it's difficult then to talk about the youngest one. But We can see that they've got options, definitely, but the only one. Football, you know, many clubs, many countries are working so well. As I said before, you know, it would be amazing to continue, you know, like to reach another final this year and the next World Cup as well, like to think that we could be dominating football for 6 to 8 years in France. So that would be crazy, you know, to show that we had such great generations from 91, that is Griezmann, 93 Pogba, and so on with 95, 6 and 8 Mbappé now. I can't say if there is any secret, you know. What I know is we've put effort, we've worked hard every day, because there is no secret. If, you know, probably also thinking that, you know, the disaster of 2010 has pushed us in a way, you know, to clean up a bit the reputation, because we had a difficult time, because at that time I was at Clairefontaine, you know, in 2010. And I promise you that we never had like a podcast talking about France, or that was only to say bad things with that story in the bus. But we had already great players, you know, and expectations were there. But from maybe this moment where, and also Nike coming in to replace Adidas and putting also lots of money, it was already a great federation, you know, with a huge power, but in addition to sponsors, with great talent that we have seen already, you know, Pogba was identified by Man United already, and many players were already leaving France, and so the future was there. And I think, yeah, just every people was really willing to prove that we can do better than this World Cup in South Africa. And from that stage, I think we just came back, you know, step by step. That was better 2014, and then so on. You know, the luck was also to have the Euro in France 2016. When you host a competition, obviously, you know, everybody, all the people are pushing, and they just hope that that the team go far, and probably also the young players. You know, it's easier, you know, for them also to come in, and the clubs develop their structures. Maybe they put a little bit more money and they extend the staff, giving more jobs to, I don't know if, you know, the support staff, like not only coaches, but so many things that are important now with, some more specific development. And I think all those things were coming with the talent that we have from all the big cities, especially in Paris area. So many players are playing there. You know, when the competition is on, it helps each other to reach you know, another level and to go farther. And I think that was probably the good for center backs, and then the midfields or offensive players that we have at the moment. If we think about Dembele and Mbappe, you know, it's also, yeah, quite, you know, you can't desire probably for better, for worse. I can't even mention some guys that are not coming, but if you see Benzema at Real Madrid, or, you know, it's so, yeah, I think we're just lucky to have all these guys, and now the coach is a winner. He won as a player, he won as a coach, he was in the final of the last Euro, so they know the music, they have experience together, so that's probably the strength that they have, you know, in comparison to other team. I think it's mostly the biggest strength of France, that they know these tournaments, they know how to go far. And because it's not easy, you know, to go through the group stage. And this family will be also quite different, with now different sport to play. some of the countries will be kind of home games. And for TAF group, that will be probably a different one, but it's better to have this experience that we got.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing to obviously.
I was just going to say, as well as the kind of technical side of it, you players like, I know me and you, Frank, have spoke about Nkunku before for the article I wrote, and Kimpembe, Thuram, Mbappe, they all seem to have really strong, quite vibrant, fun personalities. Do you think that's something that has helped their success and also kind of binds them as a team together?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's important what you say, because you have to develop that team spirit. You know, it's not enough now to put an addition of talents on the field. I think it's, you know, the team are so close from one to another. Like, you know, if you want to talk about Spain or England or Germany or Italy, you know, the big ones again. So, so if you have that connections, you know, with players that are probably coming from the same area, or maybe they had already their education together in the same club or the same environment, and obviously this make the things easier because the automatism are there, you know, but mostly because the men are sensitive to the same things. Probably we can talk about music or, you know, the lifestyle, whatsoever, you know, the French, the connections that they have with friends or, so all these things, obviously outside the field, put it on when you're playing, you know, when now the coach has to explain you some principles, some philosophy, you know, how the way they play. But it's easier because they're understanding well, you know, each other. And you could notice that all of them were such big competitors, you know, that's the main thing, you know, there was not any exercise where you can say, you know, they would take it easily and it's okay to lose. It wasn't okay to lose, never. And I think this is obviously in academy, you are not pointing at that thing, you know, at the minute, because you try to make progress. But when you are coach there and you see that is something that you appreciate already, because it might be difficult to develop in someone, you know, in one individual. If you don't have it in you, then well, it's more complicated, you know. It's just playing for fun. Well, it's not for you, this football industry in the professional world like this, where you have to play each 3 days or 4 days. You have to be very resilient and to have that capacity to recover fast. And if mentally you're not prepared for this, it takes a lot, you know. So I think from that age, you know, already under 14 or 15, these guys, you know, were just getting used to. It's something in their genetic, it's something in their habits, where for them, you know, to have 100% effort, 100% concentration, 100% performance, you know, it has come something daily, on a daily basis. And I think that's why, you know, then it's easier for you in a match later, because it's just the way you're born, it's just the way you grew up as a man. And the coach is also in that space, you know. Didier Deschamps is someone that can transmit this, you know, these words that is pushing, really motivating all the guys. And I think it's just a great connections between all of them. That's why, Marcus, Christopher, these guys from the generation 97 in Clairefontaine, you could see the trend in all of them. In whatever you could do, they will be responding. And the more you put challenge, the better they are. And that's you know, probably also a way to identify the talent, not only seeing, you know, some skills on the field or, you know, beautiful passes or top decisions, but also, yeah, that's that attitude, that spirit, that mentality of you know, of giving everything and putting even more when the challenge is bigger. That's for me what has been the difference, maybe with some of them that are not today professional players or international players. Maybe not the talent, you know, we had great talents as well alongside them, but maybe it's just to explore, you know, that the fun they have in competition, let's say.
Yeah, definitely. I think we had a question as well. Obviously, we were going to touch on a few of the other players. Specifically, I think Ben had one more to talk about, and we obviously touched on Marcus Thuram a little bit. I kind of wanted to touch on, before we move on, just quickly, were there any players that you worked with at Clairefontaine or at PSG who you really kind of believed would go on to be some of the best, biggest and the best, and play right at the top, but for whatever reason didn't necessarily get to that level? Were there any players that kind of went under the radar and had very high expectations, you had very high expectations of, but didn't manage to really make the grade?
Yeah, George, we could mention again quite a lot, you know, but one coming in my mind directly is, I think that was a 94 generation, and he left to Chelsea. So it might be also sensitive for you. So it's Yang Geo, and he was very promising, probably one of the best that we had, so much talent in a profile of Eden Hazard, let's say, you know, offensive midfielders, forward players capable to dribble top on the 1v1, extremely creative, capable to assist or to finish, capable of everything. But nobody can see him playing at the minute, you know. So yeah, he's one of the guys like this that I don't know exactly what has happened when he left to England. I think the family, I'm not too sure if they accommodated also the parents or, but yeah, quite a tough environment, maybe, you know, some hard luck at maybe poor decisions or whatsoever, but yes, a waste, because in a football, you know, just talking wise, football is, it was like, a top players that could be international now. But Kylian Mbappe opposite, everybody could see also his special talent. You don't have so many, you know, like this. When you coach at under 14 or under 15, you could see already, and especially in the second year at Clairefontaine, you could see, you know, that he started to fly. But again, way for him to adapt a little bit to Monaco, from Paris to south of France. Monaco, very different also as the club, as a city, as everything. Not easy under 15, you know, not easy to cope with all that, but just maybe 6 months to 8 months difficult. And then now everybody can talk about this guy that I think will win Ballon d'Or, and I hope for him we'll have quite a few. It's, I think for every year we have many talents. We can only take about 20 per year. The federation will take 2 to 3 goalkeepers depending on the talent that is coming, and then the field players up to 22, probably 24 maximum. Again, it depends on what you get per year. But we had also, for instance, you know, Alan Saint-Maximin, that is 97. But I didn't mention him because just after 1 or 2 months, he was out of the academy. So you can see, you know, for different reasons, infields, outfield, or the federation tried to follow some rules, you know, and the way they take players and they bet on them, they participate in their education. So school is also important. The life in the center, you know, how they respect each other, how they can adapt, you know, it's the first time probably that they are without their parents, that they are far away from home and all these things. So it might happen, you know, not because they're not good enough, but it might happen that some of them also are gone after a few weeks. And it happens. It's football, you know. It's I think it's challenges that are all over the world. Probably, you know, every clubs could relate to things. But yeah, and some others that because 93 we talk about Areola Alphonse, so the goalkeeper, but we had also Guerrero Rafael that is now playing for the Portugal. So also some others could decide, you know, because they have parents with maybe another nationality, so they are French and with another nationality. So it could also happen that some of the players decide to go and play with another national team. So you can see, you know, different evolutions. George, some of them, maybe we expect them, you know, to be playing for the biggest clubs and for France, but might happen that finally it's very different. And some others that were just in the rhythm, you know, always there, but not showing that much, you know, in the youth categories. But suddenly you don't know exactly why. It's just like, you know, and they fly like a Kimpembe. As I said before, you know, it might come a bit later. Or Christopher Nkunku also, because he was born late and a late mature boy. So it might happen that these guys just explode a bit later than others. And I just hope, you know, that, okay, we are now in crazy stories with Super League, you know, do stuff and blah, blah, blah. And you in England, you are much more involved than we are, because we don't have French club welcome in this Super League. But what I think is, you know, maybe that idea of, it would be great just for the young talent, maybe, you know, to find a way to find more competition for them, because sometimes they just lack of competition. They it's too early for them to play for the first team, but they're too good to play with the academy. So what they can do, it's almost nothing. You know, we're stuck in somewhere and some of the guys are not progressing that much because we don't have anything to propose that is good to them. So maybe that idea, you know, from the big clubs that are rich and they could just run another competition like this, you know, it's just to give more minutes for them. And on the same way, you know, because if he's not playing with the first team, for instance, in Champions League, a Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe he could play on a Thursday, you know, on a different level or with different stuff. And same as the weekend. So I think football is evolving a lot. I think many people can think about, you know, and from ideas that we all say that maybe it's bad and they were not respecting, you know, that much the supporters and all the history for the football and all that. But maybe, you know, there are things to dig in a little bit, you know, to seek and see if we could just put football in a better place with that youth development as a big attraction. And because if you record and if you put them on TV, I promise you that's gonna be already something nice to watch and people will follow and sponsors will be there as well, because so some of them will be already, you know, very performing. So, well, we're going so far in the debate now, maybe in the things that wasn't the question, but I just think, you know, that football could continue to evolve as it started a long time ago now, but for sure we can be optimistic that there is so much things to do again and again.
Yeah, I think that's obviously it's great, yeah, to touch on the European Super League and just get a little bit of your opinion there on that. But yeah, as you said, France not too heavily involved in it. But yeah, obviously you touched on Kylian Mbappe as well, who I think we will move on to towards the end of the podcast episode, because it'd be great to hear a few more stories about that. But we've got a few other attacking players I think we just wanted to touch on. I think Ben had one and Tom had one. Ben, I don't know if you wanted to speak about, well, they're both actually Bundesliga players. If you wanted to speak about a certain Bayern Munich attacker.
We could probably put them in together, couldn't we? We could probably ask.
Yeah,
I think with Koeman, he's the perfect example. We're talking about mentality and, you know, someone who wasn't getting his chances at PSG. And then he moved on to Juventus and Bayern Munich. So I kind of wanted to ask Frank about his mentality, because he comes across as someone who has a very strong mentality. He's bounced back from injuries, and he's obviously had the task of kind of replacing Frank Ribery at Bayern Munich, which is, not the easiest thing to do. And I think he's done very well. And, you know, last season proved that. And this season, again, his stats are still quite good.
Yes. Lovely Boys is such a great guy. Not only 1 year in common with him, but yeah, the guy was just different. You know, he loved too much football, to be honest. Kingsley is, you can just call him for one training almost. He will be around, he won't escape. So that was probably also the main strength for him, you know, because when he was injured, and then obviously you have to make so much more effort. Your day is crazy hard compared to the team training. And he survived in that space just because I think he's passionate about what is he doing, you know, he can't be without football. It's just, you know, his main thing since ever. So Kingsley was for me, like, you know, this one was also like Adrien Rabiot already on the top, you know, with the first team, but coming back a bit more with the reserve team. Let's say, because Rabiot was 95, Kingsley 96. So that was just 1 year after, you know, for him in the process. So he was coming back, and he played a lot of games with us, and also the Champions League. We had great games with him against Benfica or Real Madrid. And for everyone, that was just, you know, the leader that is taking all the pressure on his shoulders for the team. And everybody was like kind of relieved and then free to also play, you know, to express the talent. So the team was probably completely different with and without him, you know, at the academy. But same as Adrien, they were always around, coming to watch if they were not training with us, and always available, always, you know, with their friends. This has never changed. That's where we go back to the question of Tom, you know, where these guys are just, you know, linked and strongly, you know, the relationships are true. It's not just because we need to make it, it's just something that is genuine. It's completely honest, and they like each other, and they want to be with all of them. So in Germany, I think the boy has... Yeah, he went to Juventus, and then Pep Guardiola took him to Bayern, and because of his capacity to train and to learn, he is now, you know, on a different planet. Like, I mean, you know, it's he's in the top of the world in his position. Unfortunately for us, he scored the goal in the final because he killed PSG. That was probably heartbroken for him. And yes, but you can see that he's I think there are not many players that are celebrating trophies every year. And since he's professional, Kingsley has won everything. It means he was winning in France, he was winning in Italy, he was winning, he is now winning in Germany, and every year the same. So that's quite consistent. Obviously, he's in big clubs, but even if you are in big clubs, you know, it's not for everyone to be part all the time of something that is successful. So yeah, he's probably gifted in a way, lucky in a way, but also, you know, thinking that there is many behind the scene that we don't know, but the boy is just like, yeah, for, you know, in some of them, you know, that will be professional, you know, and there was no question since he's very young for him. And you could see the impact all the time that he's got on the other ones. And that's something, the charism, you know, but keeping humble, the feet are on the ground. And that's why, you know, other ones are following, are just pleased to be with him. And yeah, I just hope that it's going to be the same with the French national team for this competition coming.
I think maybe that's the only trophy he hasn't won, the European Championship. Maybe that's the only one missing.
And he wasn't. Yeah, and he wasn't, if I'm not mistaken, he wasn't at the World Cup because
that's correct,
you know,
so
for him, is very important now at that level also for the international competitions. With clubs, probably got everything, World Cup, Champions League, you know, mainly leagues, trophies and cup. But now, yes, obviously now it's time for him that he wants to be, you know, in the competition and which we will just pray for him to not be injured, you know, to stay fit all the way now and enjoy the preparation with the national team and then enjoy the tournament.
Yeah.
Where does he fit into that French squad? Where does he fit into the French squad? Because like you said, I think the next step for him is to maintain that consistency on a regular basis. So where do you see him? Do you see him lining up alongside Mbappe or?
Well, it's difficult for me to say, you know, I don't know which systems. You can see that the group is very hard, you know, with Germany, Portugal and Hungary, and Germany will play home, I think, and Hungary the same. It's big battles already, you know, at the group stage. You would have preferred probably that it comes a little bit later, or at least for one team later. We might need to play in different way, you know, because it's still three different opponents, and against some of them you might have the ball and maybe we sitting, you know, we make more assaults, or maybe in some games we'll be more open with more space and Kingsley, obviously I think he preferred the left hand side where he is more comfortable, but with the French national team he has also played on the opposite side. If it's to occupy, you know, like this, I don't know if they will play with three or if it's only a two. I don't know what he will put, only one striker with. It's anyway, you know that he's got speed, David is able to assist or to finish, he's capable to press out. I think this is what he learned a lot. In Germany, probably, you know, with Flick and what they did, you know, last year was amazing, Bayern Munich. So what, you know, he's now capable to do lots of things. So it might happen if in the transitions, or I think he's really good in the counter press, if you want to compare to some others, you know. So I don't know the scenario of the games, and I don't know what the coach has in his mind, but he can offer you, you know, some guarantee, and that's why I say that he's one player important to us And let's just hope that he can have a full preparation, you know, and come there 100% fit. And then let's see what happens.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think a player who he might be in competition with is Marcus Thuram. And I was wondering kind of on a working with him, Marcus Thuram, sort of technically as a young boy. He's an incredibly quick player, like remarkably quick, and he's powerful, he's big. What as a young kid, was he as fast back then? Was he quite a big guy, or was he like Nkunku and took a bit of time to develop?
At Clairefontaine, he was let's say in a transition phase, you know, from the late childhood to teenager time, you know, and he was quite tall already compared to other guys, but it didn't mean that he was in advance, like, you know, on the maturation biological. He was just, you know, growing. Mm-hmm. And we had to focus on the coordination before the speed. Obviously the player that you see now is powerful and fast, but he wasn't in that space, you know, under 14. It might be the time where you are in the peak height velocity, you grow a lot in a year, where some players take more than 1 centimeter every month, you know, and it changed a lot in their body pattern, you know, the way they represent themselves, you know. So regarding him with his coach, comment was really to focus on coordination. Probably one or two times the week, we had to do that focus, you know, on all the motor skills, the capacity to split the body, you know, so the different laterality and all these things. So just to put the first stone into the speed, that wasn't really, you know, a way for us to say, oh, let's go direct, you know, we're smashing the wall, we want fast is already showing capacity. And we're gonna train sprint and repeated sprint ability and no. We took, you know, one step back and just trying to build something quite solid with him and with all of them. And so what he could show is quite a sensibility in the feet and in everything, you know, the feelings. These guys have more capacities than us, you know, than many other guys. And you could just see, you know, the way they touch the ball, the way they are moving, and that sensibility for him is quite an elegant player, you know, smart and nice to watch when he's playing. That thing you could identify directly, you know, and probably the speed has come after when he finished with this growing phase, where, you know, the body was more now receptive for the strength, for the power, and to put all the big intensity in terms of loads. So this part I haven't seen because he's made it in a club when he left after. But I think with his father, you know, they were really aware of, you know, what it takes to become a professional player. He could benefit from nice advices, you know, not to rush some of the things. And I think Marcus just got, you know, a smooth path, something that was stable and just not relaxed, but confident, secure. And he could just go, you know, step by step, going to the next club, always to the next level. And now for him to be in Germany, and it's not finished, we do believe that he's going to continue as well, you know. But probably not like Mbappe, you know, kind of a rocket to the moon direct, you know, where but something more linear, a good curve in the progress. Everything was there. It's just to say that, you know, in that space, sometimes you can't demand too much, because it might be critical, you know, under 13, under 14, under 15, you're never too sure. And you rather step back a little bit instead of rushing things, and then the players is too much injured, or and because the availability on the field is one of the key criteria. If you want to develop your players, you have to have him on the field. So I was already bit with to say because he used to test them, to assess all the guys after each term, just to keep records on everyone and compare from one generation to another, so that the federation's got everything. These moments, these meetings for them, they were always willing to prove a point and to show, that they could be the fastest, or they could be, the one who jump higher. I'm telling you that we were not pushing the boy having a special focus on his speeds, but obviously in their minds, for them, that was something that they should develop directly. And at the minute where we tested them, they wanted to be the number one. So, yeah.
I've also been talking quite a lot there about some attacking talent, but there is definitely one that stands out amongst all of them. And, a player who's been talking about as one of the best players of his generation and potentially going to be one of the best players in the world. I mean, he already is, if I'm completely honest. And everybody knows we're talking about Kylian Mbappe. Obviously, his name has come up a lot already during this podcast episode. But I think with Kylian Mbappe, for me, it wasn't he wasn't one of those players who, you were hearing about when he was 14, 15, because that generation of players and a couple of years younger as well, you get all these pictures of them kind of, or videos rather, of them circulating when they're, 14, 15 years old, doing their thing. With Kylian Mbappe, you say he was very impressive, from a very young age. How much has his game sort of changed over the years? And how did you ever kind of expect he would get to the heights that he's at now? Because obviously he's already a world beater. He's already a player who is playing right at the top of his game, you think. But being at such a young age could obviously improve even further. So did you have those expectations of him at every single point during your time with him?
Well, George, I think he was not that much a finisher. If we have to compare, the creativity, the speed, he could do things that no one else did on the field. He's just receiving balls in with his speed, with different angles, and the first touch and all that. He was just capable to do things even that we didn't expect. Normally as a coach, you can predict a little bit what's going to be the next action. But with him was always like anything could happen, and the magic is around. But probably he was not a finisher. At that time, he was not so much focused to say that I have to score goals. He was creating a lot. He was giving assists and putting goals, but not every game, and now he just looked like a killer when he enter on the field, and everybody is saying the same. He's just like a beast, and he wanted to destroy defense and just put the ball in the net and as much as he can. But that thing has come, I don't know exactly when, because as you said, under 14, 15, 16, maybe not, when he reached at Monaco, even with his team 98, he was not in the French national team under 16 for the first, it probably needed some time to add. So people let him a bit quiet, and the national coach let him a bit quiet. So we became a European champion, champion under 17, I think, with the generation 98 without Kylian Mbappe. So he wasn't probably, the striker was Hudson-Edouard, which we had also at PSG, now that he's playing at Celtic. So probably, you know, the competition. So we had on the territory in France, maybe some strikers that could deliver at that age, you know, little more, maybe, you know. But then, you know, just 1 year later, he's promoted with the generation 97 and he's champion under 19, European champion. Selected 98, because he needed a little more time, maybe to adapt to his new environment in Monaco, to something that is now to play only with his generation. He must be promoted. And then he never went to the under 23. Go to the first team, you know, like, wow. It's just like, you know, it's crazy what happened, like at 70 years old, you know, bought by PSG for 200 million almost. And obviously at that price with that, you are completely different from all other guys, you know, because there is no mistake, you know, if people are putting their money, it's not for nothing. So yeah. But that thing I couldn't see at Clairefontaine when he was only, you know, 14 years old. He didn't show that attitude to be the one that have to finish every action. And now, obviously, he's part of the game. And he's also, you know, involved but in all attacks. But he want to be the one also finishing them. And that's something for me I never seen coming like this, you know, like he will put 50 goals a season. I didn't expect. And nobody probably, you know, was thinking that, yeah, do we have like a kind of Ronaldo, Messi, same, you know, this guy's capable to put more than 40 goals. And yes, Kylian is one of them. So yeah, that was surprising, but a good surprise. That's not time.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear, because I did want to get your opinion on that, because we do see in these days, you know, young players when they are kind of slightly younger. I kind of, for me at least, Mbappe was kind of someone who just kind of appeared in that Monaco side, and just it all appeared very quick. So it's interesting to see that there was, you know, his game has adapted a little bit, and you know, he's added more of a kind of goal output, which is obviously ridiculous at the moment. I don't know whether you two wanted to ask at all before we end the episode about any of the current Zambia players, just to kind of close off the episode, and then maybe get some predictions on the Euros from Franck as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited by that team, the attacking setup, especially with obviously Fashion Sakala, who's just gone to Rangers, and you know, we're not even mentioning Patson Daka and Enoch Mbeppu, because they're both very talented as well. And then on top of that, there's Edward Chilifia at Djurgårdens in Sweden, who's also an interesting young player. I just kind of, what's the ambitions for the national team with Zambia?
Obviously, now the dream is you know, to be part of the next World Cup. Like, you know, when you start qualifiers, you just hope that you could be one of the five tickets. It's not easy, because you can see all the groups, and in ours is Tunisia, that is ranked, I think, two or three in Africa. So that's the big favorite. We're not. You've got also Mauritania and Guinea Equatorial. So that's the three teams that we have. And if we want to go to the last round, where we have to be first, then we have to beat all of these guys. And then there is one more game, two runs, one more fixture, you know, to win, because from 10, it's only five teams to go to Qatar. At the end of the year of 22, yeah. So the ambition, I don't know if we can talk about ambition, you know. For us, is when we play matches, is to win them, for sure. So I hope there will be a game in June. I don't know. It's not exactly sure. It might come later. It's right that we have good players, very good players up front. they are kind of ambassadors for Zambian. It's very important for them, you know, to have like model where also now they think it's possible for them to grow and to reach Europe and to play for the biggest clubs. So Pat Sandaka is doing an amazing season with Red Bull. Enoch Mwepu the same. They just won the cup in Austria and they will be also the champion. So it become an habit as well for them to win things, and that's important. As we mentioned, you know, this because the appetite come by winning, you know, so also for them to guide and to give this spirit, not to show too much respect in a way to Tunisia, you know, even if they are supposed to be first in that group, probably, you know, but let's defend our chance fully and do everything we can on the field. So unfortunately, Sakala wasn't at the last camp, so I haven't coached him. I don't know him personally yet. I think he got an injury with his club in Belgium, so he couldn't come with the team. But for sure, it will be an additional force to us for the next. And well, with the guys that are playing in South Africa or in Zambia or in different clubs, as you said, we just hope that we can build a team that is quite balanced. You know, that is equally good defensively and offensively for us to continue to go through. But we scored quite lots of goals, you know, at the last two games, 2 and 3. We have to go for it fully. Only Mauritania is a turf, you know, it's a different field. So that's going to be the first game away on an artificial turf. This brings also another, you know, dimension to the game. We're not probably used to play on that surface. June there is probably also very hot, and so we have to see for the best plan what we have to do, you know, in front, where we're gonna train, which friendly to make. But we are waiting for the update, you know, on the June competitions, because as I told you when we started, it's many issues for the stadium, and we don't know if they say that we have to postpone all the games. So it's a space where we don't know, you know, it's not so good, you know, to work there. You don't know if you make things for nothing, and I think players also a bit the same, you know, you try to reach them, but the season has been long, lots of games, lots of competitions. We'd rather be, you know, quite confident in what happened and give the best info, relevant info to the guys as early as possible. But at the moment, you know, it's everything, everyone says something different. And I don't like too much that space, to be honest. And we can't be very professional in anything. So the earlier the better for me on the 15th, when we have yes or no, and then we can really focus on it. I hope I will see England and France and Qatar in 22. That would be amazing for Zambia. That would be amazing. Yeah. It's a nice nation, very top people, you know, they're just willing to be one of the teams going there. So we will try to help. The coach is a Zambian coach, Milutin Sredojevic. And I think he's also very focused for this challenge. And we wait for them now, and we're going to be prepared and give everything. We can promise this to you and to all the people that we give our best.
Well, all the best as well from us. Good luck. And yeah, hopefully you do achieve those ambitions, and hopefully Zambia do make it to a World Cup, because that would be really nice for the whole country.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't know whether either of you two have any questions before we get a little prediction from Frank, just to kind of close off the episode.
I think that's everything, to be honest. I think we've covered so much, so many different players. Yeah. I suppose the final question to ask Frank is, where do you think France are going to come in this competition? Are you backing them to win it?
Well, I believe we have you know, chances. France has big experience now, but as I said, this season was very different. I just hope the players come, you know, with still the tank not empty, you know, not you know, the energy, psychologically as well, because it has taken a lot, really all these things. I'm not too sure in Europe, you know, it's going, but for me in Africa now, you know, when you want to travel and wow, it's, you know, it takes a lot. It's an amount of fatigue. And you just hope, because now it's end of season with the club leading towards to now national team. And already the guys didn't have a space to recover, you know, in between the two seasons. We had to finish the previous one and jump into this one with a very short time. And just me, you know, as a fitness coach, conditioning coach, or on those aspects, you don't know, you know, until where we're going to go. You know, it's because the freshness is key, but is not there. Nobody is fresh anymore. You know, it's been a lot of games in a crazy period where, so, but maybe it's the same for all teams, but I don't know, you know, the formula will be different. So for France is to be in Germany and Hungary. I think we're going to do well. I hope we reach the last four, you know, going to semifinals and being top four. And then anything could happen when you are there, you know, is on the last two games. I just hope that, yeah, it's going to be like this. But, well, yeah, we must see, you know, with England, you have the two, you have the last games in England. I think we can also put this team as a big one, and yeah, let's see the guys how they reach Clairefontaine for the preparation. If we can continue on the same level, then I have no problem. But yeah, that would be amazing. I don't know if it has been done before, you know, final at the last Euro, final at the last World Cup, going again to another final. And that would be quite, you know, historic for France, for sure. And let's say I want it. I want it because we have a good generation of players that are playing for the biggest club, and they used to win. If N'Golo Kanté come the way he was yesterday, we have also better chances because he can run a lot and he can do a lot, killing two to three players on the opposite team. So yeah, look, it's difficult to give a prediction, guys, but yeah, I would say maybe a top four to be okay. And and if we got lucky, we're gonna go higher.
I think that's a great prediction. I think that's surely a given for that French side, given the sheer sort of depth in every single position that we've mentioned. There isn't really a position where France don't have, you know, at least sort of two to three very, very strong players who could, you know, they could almost have two squads in the Euros, and still both of them would do incredibly well. I don't know whether there's anything to plug from the FTF site before we say goodbye to Franck and thank him for coming on. I don't know if Tom or Ben wanted to plug anything that's coming out shortly or that's just come out.
Well, definitely check out the Nkunku article that Tom wrote on an interview with Franck. So
with Franck's help.
It's a great article. And, definitely. With this French topic, if everyone wants to read more about that French side or the French players, that Nkunku article covers a lot of it.
Yeah, I'll second that, and just check out any of our new pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a fair few new pieces coming out. So we've got a lot of things in the pipeline at the moment. So all that's really left to say is a big thank you to Franck for coming on for this episode. So it's been great to have kind of a long chat about your work with the likes of Mbappe and Kunku, so many other exciting kind of young French players playing all across Europe at the moment, obviously in France and Germany and England and everywhere else. And yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how they do at the Euros. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure. And all the best to you too.
Thanks. Cheers.
Thank
Cheers, you. Cheers, guys.
And Cheers. Thanks for listening. And goodbye.